All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. A little after 9 o'clock.
All right.
It's Paul Major's act. His headphones upside down.
Oh, yeah, that is it. Yeah, this is how Paul Major, the audience should see how Tim has his headphones. He's kind of just
upside down.
Holding them upside down.
Doesn't want to mess up that
hair.
That beautiful hair he's got going,
now,
man.
Now, by the way, I don't want
to... Full head of hair, man.
Yeah, Paul Majors is a great friend of ours, a great friend of our show, too. He comes on all the time. He was here last night at 8 o'clock.
Jerry wants to run his hands through Paul's hair,
well,
and it's so uncomfortable when you ask him.
Yeah, he had mentioned that to me. Jerry had mentioned me privately. Do you think Paul would let me run my hands, my fingers through his hair? And I said to Jerry privately, I said, I wouldn't ask him. You know,
I bet he would. He didn't care.
However, having said that, Paul's hair looked exceptionally nice yesterday.
Yeah, and Paul is the anchorman on Channel 2, 5 o'clock and 11 o'clock, so check that out. And later on this evening, we're going to give out a seat in the World Poker Tour Celebrity Texas Hold'em Poker Tournament. Held at the Commerce Casino this weekend, March 1st through the 3rd. I'll be there. Jerry Wyszowski, two celebrities right there. James Woods, Jason Alexander. These guys might be there. They might or might not. They're scheduled to, but you know, once in a while they get busy.
But you guys are confirmed.
Yeah, we're confirmed. Dennis Miller, Jose Canseco, Norm MacDonald, and others.
My friend.
Commerce Casino.
Have you heard Dennis Miller's radio program?
Yes, I have.
What do you think?
I like it.
Yeah. He's funny on it sometimes.
Yeah.
Enjoy that.
All right, Robin with the news. What's going on? Look at this.
C-74.
Wow. Live from high atop the Miracle Mile, here's Robin with the news.
Ah, yeah. What's in the news, Robin?
Well, in case you two weren't aware, there is a race for the presidency going on.
Wow.
So
a lot of stories about that
tonight. Hillary Rodham Clinton and Barack Obama clashed over trade, health care, and the war in Iraq Tuesday night in a crackling debate at close quarters, 1 week before a pivotal group of primaries. The tone was polite yet pointed, increasingly, so as the 90-minute session wore on, a reflection of the stakes in a race in which Obama has won 11 straight primaries and caucuses, and Clinton is in desperate need of a comeback. In this first bit of audio, Hillary was getting suspicious about getting the first question in every single debate.
Right.
H-126.
All right, H-126. Always asking Hillary the first question.
In the last several debates, I seem to get the first question all the time. And I don't mind. I'll be happy to field them, but I do find it curious. And if anybody saw Saturday Night Live, you know, maybe we should ask Barack if he's comfortable and needs another pillow. I just find it kind of curious that I keep getting the first question on all of these issues, but I'm happy to answer it.
It doesn't sound like you are. It sounds like you're pissed.
Yeah, she shouldn't. I think that was a, if I were her campaign manager, I think I would...
Maybe say that off the air.
Right. I think I would have given her an opportunity to vent that frustration before the debate privately to me instead of to the
I understand it, though. I mean, she is asked the question first, and while she's answering it, then Barack can think of his answer.
Well, look, I do believe that when you compare the way the media is treating Senator Clinton compared to the way they're treating Senator Obama— and compared to the way they're treating Senator McCain, Hillary is getting the harshest.
I think you're right.
Treatment. Tim Russert on there asking Hillary Clinton who the
new president of Russia.
Right. Who's right? Do you think Barack Obama would have known who Vladimir Putin's replacement is?
Neither one of them knew.
No, Hillary answered it correctly.
She didn't know who he was, though. I mean, she didn't know his name.
She answered that she mispronounced it slightly, but she answered answered correctly.
She gave a vague.
No. She answered correctly. She gave a name, and it was a correct.
It wasn't the name. She didn't give
she
the name.
She mispronounced it.
Yeah, she didn't give the name. She said his name is sounds like a meat tree or something
no,
like
she
that.
Gave it, she.
I'll
know.
Play you the audio.
She mispronounced she it, but she gave. But
neither
anyway,
one of them got it.
Hillary knew who it was. Barack Obama, believe me, he's the guy. Attention to Tim Russert. When there's a candidate who voters think maybe has limited experience, That's the guy you hit with that question. Do you remember when George Bush was running for president and people thought that he didn't know anything about foreign relations, and that one reporter sat down with then Governor Bush and said, "Who's the leader of Pakistan?"
Right.
And Bush said, some general or something. And it went down a list of countries asking, you know, then Governor Bush who the leader was. You know, that was kind of a, you know, that's gotcha and kind of silly, you know.
I know. But that's you know, it's very symbolic of Americans. We don't know and we don't care.
Well, Hillary Clinton, in my opinion, seemed to know. She, again, I saw an expert on CNN today say she mispronounced the name.
Right.
But you ask Barack Obama that question. He's getting I'm telling you, honest to God, people, this is a national security issue. You put a guy in the White House with limited experience like this, and if we have a crisis, if we have a real problem, and we've got, you know, some, you know, 46-year-old dude in there who's been a senator for 3 years, you're potentially asking for trouble, the kind of trouble we don't need. On the other side, you have Hillary Clinton, with years of experience.
All right, Soviet national anthem, everybody.
I had asked.
I remember that from the Olympics.
Right. I had requested that when I talk about Senator Clinton, that you find some other background music.
All right. We'll look. All right. Anything else in the news, Robin?
Yes. Well, after the that first suspicious question was brought up by Ms. Clinton, she then accused Obama of not denouncing Muslim leader Farrakhan more aggressively. And we have some audio of that. H27.
All right, H27, here we go.
There's a difference between denouncing and rejecting, and I think when it comes to this sort of, you know, inflammatory, I have no doubt that everything that Barack just said is absolutely sincere, but I just think we've got to be even stronger.
I have to say, I don't see a difference between denouncing and rejecting. There's no formal offer of help from Minister Farrakhan that would involve me rejecting it. But if the word reject, Senator Clinton feels is stronger than the word denounce, then I'm happy to concede the point. And I would reject and denounce.
Yeah, well, to have to drag it from you, Barack, is a bit disconcerting.
And that's not true, dude. They didn't have to drag it from it. You know, it's one of those things where the Clintons try to split hairs with the terms.
Well,
he said he denounced it. And she said you should reject it.
Well,
he says, I don't know the difference.
Well, I'll tell you what the difference is. The difference is we're talking about Louis Farrakhan, who called Judaism a gutter religion,
and he denounced it.
That Barack Obama would even call him Minister Farrakhan. You know, call him Minister Farrakhan. Butch up, Barack. Butch up. You know, Minister Farrakhan. Louis Farrakhan is an anti-Semite and a bigot and a racist, and any reverence to him, even using the term Minister Farrakhan, is offensive to me and should be, I would think, to any Jewish American and to any American for that matter.
All right. Listen, you're going to be very tough to deal with in about 2 weeks when she gives that teary-eyed speech of "I'm out."
No, I've supported candidates in the past who have not won. I'll be fine. You'll see.
You think?
I voted for John Kerry, and I was fine when he gave his concession speech. I told you, I was never more proud of John Kerry, and never more proud to have voted for him than when he gave his very profound and patriotic concession speech.
This one's going to cost you money if it happens.
Well, I've parted with the money already. I mean, you know,
this one's going to cost you a round-trip airfare to Vegas, a night at Caesar's Palace, and $100 in gambling cash.
Well, the bet with you, look, I'm happy to.
And I'll call you from Vegas when she gives that big speech.
Fine.
The day after she gives that speech, I'll call you from the suite in Vegas.
And I'll be here with
be
Sammy Phillips.
So effing pissed.
Well, you know.
Be all red and sweaty and nauseous.
You know, this is life. You don't win them all.
Smell like pizza.
It doesn't mean, by the way, that it's over. This conversation doesn't mean it's over. Senator Clinton has a very good chance of only about 100 delegates that separate the two. You need more than 2,000 to win, and they're about 100 apart.
There you go.
She's going to be fine.
All right. Anything else in the news, Robin?
Yes. Well, finally in this debate, Senator Obama then chided Clinton for her negative attack ads during her campaign for the presidency. Thought you both might enjoy this. H-128.
Senator Clinton has, her campaign at least, has constantly sent out negative attacks on us, email, robocalls, flyers, television ads, radio calls. And, you know, we haven't whined about it because I understand that's the nature of these campaigns.
What I find regrettable is that in Senator Obama's mailing that he has sent out across Ohio, it is almost as though the health insurance companies and the Republicans wrote it.
Wow. All right. Well, listen, I think they're both pretty similar, right? Barack Obama and Senator Clinton. I mean, 90% of what they stand for is the same.
Yeah, policy-wise. But, you know, but I tell you, as a supporter of Hillary Clinton, what Hillary Clinton doesn't need from anybody is a lecture on health care reform. You know, for this guy to sit there in his first term in the United States Senate to try to be critical or give Hillary Clinton a lecture on how to reform health care, she's worked at this her entire life. I asked for another piece of music to accompany my support of Senator Clinton.
That's a great national anthem.
It's kind of catchy, but it's a shame the country doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, I guess so.
The empire has fallen, but I don't know if, well, maybe, is that still the Russian national anthem?
I don't think so.
I know it was the Soviet Union, but I guess they can't use it.
Maybe somebody can call us if you're from the old Soviet Union or from Russia. Do they still use that theme? Here are the phone numbers, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710.
You know, when a big band comes together, as obviously we have there, you know, when an orchestra comes together to perform that, I mean, I'm obviously no communist and not a Soviet sympathizer, but the song is rather nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful. All right, anything else in the news, Robin?
Well, yes, finally, civil rights leader John Lewis dropped his support of Hillary Rodham Clinton's presidential bid. Yes, Wednesday in favor of Barack Obama.
Are you serious?
Yes. I am so serious. Lewis, a Democratic congressman from Atlanta, is the most prominent black leader to defect from Clinton's campaign in the face of near unanimous black support for Obama in recent voting. Here is what Lewis said while he was supporting Clinton about 6 months ago. J-116.
All right, J-116. This guy Lewis is
a fair weather friend.
No, he's the most prominent African-American, what do you call him?
Well, he's in Congress. He's one of
activists. In the whole United States, that's the number one dude.
He
was friends.
That's debatable.
You can debate it, but you have to throw his name in there.
Absolutely.
As in the top two or three.
Absolutely.
This guy was very close with Martin Luther King. And he was in Selma. I mean, he was, you know, at the front of that march. And
also a fair weather friend, though. I mean,
I don't know. All right, this is him supporting Clinton. Is that right?
Supporting, yes.
All right,
Senator
here we
Clinton.
Go. J-116.
J-116.
All right.
I am convinced that with Hillary Clinton as president, no one will be left out or left behind.
All right. And then?
Well, here is the civil rights leader, how he feels now. E-197.
All right.
And this moment means so much to me because now is the time to stand up for what you believe in. And if you believe in change, you vote for Barack Obama.
All right. There's a little flip-flop there.
Well, I mean, you don't know
doesn't
which...
sound like him, but...
You know, you don't know which one to believe sometimes.
All right. Here's the first one.
I am convinced that with Hillary Clinton as president, no one will be left out or left behind.
6 months later.
And this moment means so much to me because now is the time to stand up for what you believe in. And if you believe in change, you vote for Barack Obama.
All right. I'm not sure that's the same dude. But,
right. But nonetheless.
Somebody emailed that to
us. My sources tell me that it's the same man.
Your sources.
Check Robin. Your sources, Robin.
How dare you?
All right. Anything else in the news, Robin?
That's what's happening.
There you go.
From
Robin
America,
the News.
In Los Angeles. Robin with the news.
All right, man. Still a lot of activity going out in Van Nuys on Sherman Way and Van Nuys Boulevard, so stay clear of the area. An officer-involved shooting. They killed one guy, and they're still looking for three others, so be aware. That's the nice thing about doing a local show. You can talk about local issues.
Oh, sure.
We're not syndicated. You couldn't do that.
Yeah, we're not some syndicated show. We're right here in Los Angeles, able to talk about what's happening in Van Nuys right now. And you're right, Tim. That's a large area that is blocked off to motorists and pedestrians.
Oh, it's unreal. All right, let's talk to Robert. You're on 97.1 Free FM. How are you, sir?
Yo, what's going on, guys?
All right. So the Russians still use that theme, or the Soviet national
anthem? That's right. No, they still use the same theme, same melody, but they changed the words around. It used to be a lot more, a lot more commie, a lot more red, but now it's all about, like, peace and, like, you
know. How do you know that?
I heard it on the news the other day.
Oh. Right.
The other day this was on the news?
Yes. I forgot. They were doing sort of special about Russia or whatever, and they were talking about it, and they just mentioned that.
So the theme, the music is, right. The harmony, the melody is the same, but the lyrics have changed.
Hey, Robert?
That's right. I'm a big fan of national anthems. That's one of my favorite ones.
Right. Hey, Robert?
So, I kind of like downloading them and everything. What's up?
Jerry disagrees with you in Burbank. Jerry, why do you disagree with Robert?
Yeah. Hello?
Well, what's up, Jerry? What's up?
Yeah, bro, they don't use that national anthem anymore.
How would you know?
Russian. I'm from I'm Armenian, and I growing up, people used to be part of ex.
Wait, Armenia's not Russia.
Not right now. It used to be.
All right.
And that's not the national anthem anymore, man.
So what is it now?
It's totally different. It's not that at all.
Same
but
melody.
That's a very cheap national anthem. Very catchy. Growing up, I knew it by heart.
Can you sing it?
Sing it.
Hold on.
We're going to play it. Hold on 1 second, dude.
Okay, yeah.
All right, hold on 1 second. We're going to play it for you here.
So you can get into it.
Yeah, all right, here we go. Here's Jerry and Burbank singing the Russian, or the old Soviet, national anthem.
Yes, I use... I need the melody.
Here we go. Crank it up, Jay.
Советский Совет и Союз. And I don't know all the words, man, but it's a Союз.
Nah, you don't know this.
You're going to Hollywood.
All right, thank you, Jerry.
That was absolutely awful. It was totally awful.
It's not the same at all.
All right, dude. Thanks for calling, man.
All right, you're welcome.
Welcome to the United States.
Thank you for coming.
There he goes. All right, Todd and Hawthorne, you're on 97.1 Free FM.
Yeah, is Whitman?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm calling about you bashing Barack about what Miss Hillary said.
You're calling about me bashing Barack. What are you referring to specifically?
When you just had on the air that Ms. Clinton was getting on him about Farrakhan.
Yeah.
Well, it could be vice versa. He could be getting on her about the popes and their prostituting these little boys, having sex with them and stuff.
Wait a minute. Excuse me. You think that Louis Farrakhan, who called Judaism a gutter religion, is the moral equivalent of the Pope? Can you, for the benefit of the audience, share with us the quote from the Pope that would be so divisive and so biased and so bigoted as to even begin to rival calling Judaism a gutter religion? Please take all the time you need.
I'm conditioning on the fact that
you're a nut.
The Pope been, his organization has been doing a lot of, like,
There is no moral equivalence between.
There is no moral equivalence.
Well,
because if you're trying to bash him,
sir, Louis Farrakhan is an anti-Semite. It's clear.
But then, what's the difference of them having sex with little boys?
You're an idiot. Really, you really
which
are.
One is worse?
You're an idiot.
Which one is worse?
The Pope didn't have sex with any underage boys. I'm not gonna debate you. You're beneath me, sir. You're beneath me. You're beneath me.
Beneath me. You're beneath me.
I don't have arguments with.
If you want to criticize somebody,
I have told you, you are beneath me. I am not going to debate you.
Because you have nothing to say. Because what you have to say,
I have already made my statements to you.
It don't make sense. I'm not going to sit here and call you all kind of names. But I'm just trying to make the distinction between.
Sir,
where are you coming from?
Moral equivalence, I'll say it to you again, because obviously you have a tough time in the area of comprehension, so I'll say it to you again. There is no moral equivalence between the Pope and Louis Farrakhan. When Louis Farrakhan... There's a big difference between the two of them.
Very big. Louis Farrakhan don't go around his organization... having sex with little kids. The Pope organization does.
And Louis Farrakhan goes around. Louis Farrakhan goes around calling Jews and Judaism a gutter religion. Sir, do you want to have a conversation or do you just want to talk?
I'm having a conversation.
All right. Would you let me make my point to you? The Pope has never said anything. To my knowledge. The Pope, unless you have the quote, and again, I'll invite you for a second time, Todd, to share with the audience the evidence that you have that the current Pope is the moral equivalent of Louis Farrakhan. I invite you to share this evidence with the audience because I'm unaware of it, and if you'd like to share it, please go ahead and do so.
Okay, I say it to you again. You have
no. I'm asking you, sir, for the. Oh. I'm asking Todd. I'm asking you for the quotation, for the speech, for the reference that the Pope made that is as divisive, as bigoted, and as racist as the quote of Louis Farrakhan's that I shared with you. Do you have one or do you not? If you don't, then do the honorable thing and surrender this argument because you sound like an ass.
You're just upset.
Stop.
Sir, what I'm saying.
No. I think
what I'm saying for
I
last
think you're
time,
not particularly bright.
And time is that the Pope
well,
organization,
now stop.
The Pope organization.
I'm done talking to this.
Is
person.
Hiding
the
sexuality of the congregation with the little boys.
Yeah, man.
So what's the difference?
I should be getting laid.
You should get laid. Maybe help you out.
All right. Thanks for calling, dude. All right. There he goes. Todd and Hawthorne, everybody. All right. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. When we come back, we ran out of time. I'm going to tell you what I discovered from a major corporation that made me so angry last night. I was boiling.
Right.
Boiling.
Right.
And I walked out with my money. I was ready to spend hard-earned money at a store last night.
And you were unable to close a sale?
Yes. And I'll tell you why. It's a store chain that everybody knows, too. Mm. It's Conway and Whitman, live at 97.1 Free FM.
Man, who is you? Where are you coming from?